At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it. Yes, they sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only, the wonderful and talented Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Aren't you a sweet tart? I'm good. How's it going with you?
Oh, I am great. I just, right before this, I had a McGriddle, you know, and so that's like really powering me right now. And on top of that, I watched the first two segments of the latest Below Deck Down Under, which has like fueled me with so much rage. I didn't tell you this beforehand. I wanted to sort of surprise you, like, because you were, before we started recording, you were like, I'm holding on to all this rage. I just wanted to like, blah. And I'm like, little does Ronnie know, I am full of rage right now, but I'm going to surprise him with my rage, because watching Below Deck Down Under, whoo, that chef, Magda, oh my God. Like, I am seeing red from that show.
Yeah, he seems like a real, real asshole.
Yeah,
okay. He is, I'm filled like, up with my rage on the regular Below Deck sailing on Bravo. So I need time between my rage.
Yeah, I got a nice mainline shot of the rage from the first two segments of the latest episode. So that's the spirit that I'm going into today's episode. We are talking Top Chef, actually. Speaking of chefs, Top Chef. We're going to talk about that. We're going to recap that. Just a gentle reminder that tonight is Take a Seat Night on Spotify Live. Download the app and join us there. 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast. We talk about all the latest, you know, Bravo gossip and whatever other gossip that's on our minds. And we talk, you talk. It's a whole big fun thing, okay? So go join us for that. We always have a very fun time for that. And also, The Real Housewives of Atlanta just premiered. And so that will be up later today. So that is all the news. Ronnie, anything else on your mind before we get started with this recap?
No, I'm ready to rumble. Let's do rumble. It.
Let's use and our rage.
I like that we have all this rage and then we come into the least ragey episode of Top Chef of all time.
It's like, hi, everybody. We're here to feel things today. You know what I want to feed on? Emotions. Give me all of your human emotions and let me just feed on them.
Hi, chefs. Now that Restaurant Wars is over, it's the time of the season when I pretend to cry when one of you goes home. Emotions.
So we opened where we stopped last week, where everybody's in the stew room. It's just been a double elimination. Big Dumb Jackson has just confessed that he can't smell. I haven't been able to smell this whole time. And if it weren't for those darn kids, I would have gotten away with it too.
Did you see, by the way, the previouslys were hilarious where they showed Padma saying, like, it's almost as if he's trying to avoid us. And they cut right to him, just like popping into frame going, hello, everyone, to like a random table. It was I watched that like three times in a row.
Oh, so he's gone. And Jay gives some of her trademark positivity, which I love. She's like, every day is not a great day, but every day I'm making a progress. And I was like, you know, I feel you. Because whenever, you know, my nieces are the kids in my life. But whenever someone younger is like, you know, it's been a hard day, I just say, you know what? Life sucks. And that's how it is. And you wake up and it still sucks. And you're still alive. And you just keep going. And you try and find ways to make it fun. But it never stops sucking. So yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
Somehow that comforts me. The first time somebody gave me that advice, that just comforted me. I was like, oh, okay. So it's not supposed to be better. You know,
I just quote Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight when she told her daughter, life is pain, suck it up. I was like, you know, that really just, I don't know if you remember that. It's like Thorpe.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I remember it from my own life before a fly swatter smacked me in the head, you know, that my mom pulled out of the glove compartment when I was misbehaving. And it didn't like really, I mean, I was going to say it didn't smack me as hard as that, like the actual fly swatter. But the advice never like really sunk in until I heard it from somebody else. But I was like, yeah. You know, that's the point. Life sucks. You're just trying to find ways to make it better the whole time. So, you know what? Let's all hug. Hold hands.
Also, by the way, Jay is like very, like, she's like very sad. And she's like, you know, she's like, well, it was not a great day, but I'm making progress. And they do a flashback to her, like, quote unquote, not good day. And they're like, Jay, yours was delicious. You know your way around a sauce, don't you? I'm like, that was like such high praise. And she's like, yeah, it's kind of a shitty day. I'm like, Jay, they love you. They anointed you the condiment queen.
You're the Beethoven of chefs. That was amazing.
She's like, oh my God, my life sucks.
We're going to call you Little Miss Hollandaise. Sorry, Gail. Title revoked.
Sorry, Gail. Your bath is going to be empty tonight. Jay's taking all the Hollandaise.
So now it's time for the quick fire. And everyone walks in and Pam is like, how does it feel to have survived restaurant wars? Because guess what? Now Gail's going to sit on each and every one of you. Survive that.
Well, now we have our guest, Naisha Arrington. Not only one, but two of her restaurants were on Jonathan Gold's best restaurant list. Hi, Naisha.
She's like, hello, I'm a huge fan. This is going to be a really good day. I was like, see, now that's the kind of positivity I don't like. Don't be promising me things. You know what I mean? Let the day decide what it's going to be. Don't tell me the day is going to be good. You have no way of knowing.
Naisha, it's so wonderful that you're back here on Top Chef, being on the Jonathan Gold 101 Best Restaurants list. Wow, sort of sad to think that we can't even say you got a James Beard nomination, huh? Let that sink in a little bit.
The first person I haven't said James Beard in front of, Naisha. So Padma's like, chefs, people have been eating plant-based diets since the beginning of hamburgers. Now, I've eaten a lot of meat since I've been here, so today we're going vegetarian, which I'm very happy about. Ew, gross.
And Naisha's like, you may have noticed in recent years that a lot of the best restaurants in the world are switching up their styles to celebrate the vegetable in the center of the plate instead of the animal protein. Of course I noticed it. Of course. Because you said it was the best restaurant in the world. So of course I know. I totally noticed that, guys. I totally did.
Well, today we're going vegetarian, and behind us you'll see a bountiful display of beautiful colors of ingredients. You'll only be able to use items from one color to create a monochromatic dish.
Sort of like when Gail shows up in a puke green jumpsuit.
Chase the rainbow, all of one terrible color of green. One shade of green. 20 shades of the same color of green. Welcome, Gail Simmons.
It's like someone took Skittles and turned them into eggplants and broccoli. Fun.
So Evelyn pulls black and she's like, what the hell? How is this fair?
Yeah. She's like, it's not even on the rainbow.
Who wants to eat a black plate of vegetables?
By the way, I totally would. And then Pam is like, they're all pulling knives. And then eventually Damar pulls his knife. And Pam goes, Damar. And he's like, yeah, I pulled green. Well, you don't look too happy with the green. It's sort of like Gail when she gets the bottom of a bag of Bugles.
You have the same look on your face as Gail when we tell her she's about to eat the color green. And he's like, well, I thought I had my happy face on. She's like, that's your happy face? Ha! Well, this is the last immunity of the season. 30 minutes.
Ha ha. Wow, that's her happy face. I guess you've never experienced the comedy of my dear friend, Ali Wong.
I think it's because we're about to recap Real Housewives of Atlanta after this, and I've already got my Kenya ready.
Ha! Ha, 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 ha. Oh, God, that's your happy face? More like your stupid face, am I right?
Wow, Damar, your happy face is hilarious. Okay, time starts now. 30 minutes, go.
So, Luke, I don't know what happened to Luke today. I don't know if Luke... this is disgusting, so I apologize. I don't know if Luke masturbated the first... Like, I don't know what happened to Luke, but he comes on... in the best mood. He's so happy today. I feel like Big Dumb Jackson was bullying Luke secretly behind the scenes or being like, hey, what's up, Noma? How'd it feel today to not get any points, Noma? Because now that he's gone, Luke is a different person.
Yeah. He is alive. He's not even cooking with seaweed this episode, which may be ultimately his downfall. And he's like, I love cooking vegetables. It's always a challenge to be able to cook a vegetable, and it makes you forget you're not eating meat. I mean, once you can do it, like, it's a beautiful thing, you know, like cooking with vegetables. I'm like, Luke, stop reaching for the mushrooms and the seaweed and the miso. We know you want to. We know you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, he came like a different person today. I don't know, but I don't trust people who just suddenly become happy. And neither does Padma. Actually, because she's like, wow, look at Luke. The whole day she makes comments on Luke. She's and like, he is different.
But she's also so condescending about the whole episode. She's like, wow, Luke, congratulations. You finally learned how to use a wooden spoon. I knew you could do it.
So Jay gets red, and she's going to make some kind of jam with strawberries. Gojujang.
Yeah.
And she tells us that her uncles were farmers, so growing up she would farm with them. And she's like, I was a baby laborer. which I love child labor. So I was like, you go. I only want a baby to teach it how to use a Swiffer.
And then Ashley's like working on a curried cauliflower puree, and then Evelyn's working on, she's gonna make an eggplant soup, and she's saying like, God, one thing that's really hard with a lot of these like black fruits and vegetables is that they're black on the outside, but they're light on the inside. I just don't know like how to darken it without like using like black, like squid ink or black powder. I'm like, girl, just char everything. Like, just char the hell out of every single thing.
Oh, that's true. I think she ends up doing the smart thing and just using black beans because those things stain everything. I cook a lot because I'm vegetarian, so I use a lot of black beans. And it's like, okay, wow, you guys are really serious about turning everything black around you. I love your dedication to it. They're like, we love it. We're turning this entire dish black.
Way to go, bean face.
So then let's see. Evelyn, eggplant soup sounds horrifying. You know, not a huge eggplant fan. And soup sounds not great either, but you know, she's my favorite, so I'm hoping it's okay. Nick got orange, so everyone's jealous he gets to use sweet potatoes.
Yeah. And then Buddha got white, so he's doing like cauliflower and cheese and stuff like that. And Luke is, again, you're right, he's like very enthusiastic. He just keeps announcing that he loves cooking with vegetables. He's like, I love cooking with vegetables. He just keeps on saying that over and over again, which is funny because ultimately he winds up making a meatloaf later, but whatever, you know, he's it's fine, he can lie to us, it's all right.
So he's so smiley. I just, every time he talks, I write, he's smiley today. I'm like that person in the office that's like, why is he smiling? Like, I'm immediately suspicious.
And then the editors do that thing where they're like, let's make some drama where there's no drama. Like at one point, like Luke turns around and starts like running to the fridge or something, and he like bumps into Buddha, and the music is like, a boom! Like they made it sound like like he had a knife in his hand and just like stabbed Buddha right in the stomach, you know?
Chefs, you have the time it takes me to figure out how to stop staring at Gail's patterns and concentrate on the sweet soul that's behind the mess. 5 minutes!
And then Ashley is like, I'm trying to add some sweetness, so I'm just going to add some freeze-dried peaches to my dish. I'm like, not sure how that is ever going to be a good idea on Top Chef. You know they hate frozen shit, first of all. And second of all, like, her whole dish was like corn and all these savory things. Then she's going to throw in freeze-dried peaches. She sometimes like really makes me scratch my head.
There's an odd attachment to peaches this season. I feel like there's been peaches in a lot of things that there shouldn't be peaches in. Like, why are we suddenly leaning on peaches? Okay, let's stop leaning on peaches, guys. I think we've learned our lesson in real life.
I always think of the very first season of Hell's Kitchen where the finalists, I mean, of course, there's never good food on Hell's Kitchen. I haven't watched it in years, but I just always remember the finalists with this idiot guy, and he made like a steak and then he put peaches on it and he put like, but he cut them in this like very amateurish way. He like cut them into like little discs and put like three discs on the steak, like symmetrically placed.
Ew.
And it just was like the schlockiest, stupidest thing. It like made the Food Network look like Top Chef. And I just was, that's what I, when I think of people adding like unnecessary peaches to a dish, I just always think of that guy. And I'm like, you're following in this man's footsteps.
Yeah, the unnatural peach edition. I think that's a good way to say it. Like last week, someone did a, what do you call the raw? It's like a ceviche with peach. And I was like, no, why? No, that's not how it works. No, gross, no. I like, my brain started to,
I mean, I don't really like peach, out. So I don't like peach. So I, in general, I'm always going to reject it. But like, I feel like I can appreciate when it seems like that's probably a good use of it. And in that case, like, I just felt like freeze dried peach is also taking it to another level. And like, it seems strange to me.
I'm traumatized by freeze dried fruit because they sell that at Trader Joe's. And every time I'm going on like another healthy, you know, my niece won't let me say diet anymore. So a healthy eating journey or whatever. I get,
lifestyle change.
Yes. I get the peaches or, you know, the freeze-dried fruits. And then I go home to look up how healthy I'm being, you know. And they're like, those are the most unhealthy fruit you could eat. It's pure sugar. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn it. I just ate a whole bag of those, you know. So I feel very upset with freeze-dried fruits and vegetables. Yeah. I feel like they tricked me.
And I just realized that freeze-dried peaches are not actually frozen.
No, they're freeze-dried. Yeah, that's like astronaut freeze-dried.
They're just like dried. But still, I still think it's a bad idea to throw in there something. I don't think throwing like a fried droot into, I don't know. I think it's like very rare when throwing a fried droot into some fried.
The fried droot. Dried. I like that.
Like a fried droot.
Fried droot.
That was a spoonerism.
Well, but I think we've officially exhausted the peaches segment of the show, I have to say.
Move on, idiots.
Sometimes you just feel a limit has been reached. Okay, we've reached the freeze-dried fruit segment of the show, the limit, the glass ceiling of the freeze-dried fruit segment.
It's like Gail going to the bargain bin at Dress Barn. It's been exhausted.
So Luke, of course, is like, I've definitely cooked cauliflower like this at Noma. It's pretty hard to beat because it's boiled with. Okay, so now you're gonna do really well with a recipe you took from Noma. Come on, Luke. I'm trying to root for you, Luke.
I know, exactly. Wow, congratulations. You can cook a cauliflower, the generally very forgiving vegetable that is cauliflower. So then now it's time for judging. And so Buddha is up first and he brings his plate up. And Pema goes, I love a good hot plate. God, if Gail were here, she would eat it.
And he's like, well, this is a cauliflower with cheese, with vavavan. He's too fancy. I don't get it. I'm too simple for him. It's wood-fired with garlic, butter, and thyme. Padma's like, wow, sounds like Gail at a beauty salon.
Delicious. Naisha, what do you think? Knowing that your palate is slightly limited in the fact that you're not a James Beard nominee. By the way, Naisha is so... I'm like, Naisha is so nice. We once did a live audio thing, and she totally just came into it and was like, pop, 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 and she was so friendly, and now we're just bagging on her to be in Watch What Crappens.
Oh, she did? When did she come in?
It was before Take a Seat. I had like for like a fleeting moment back, like when like ages ago, I tried to start up something called a cookbook club on another platform. And like I had like three people in it And then Naisha came into it, and then Margaret Josephs came into it. It was the weirdest, like, 20-person group of, and like, and then some other people came in, and we talked about air fryers or Margaret's iced coffee and, like, Greek restaurants in Los Angeles. It was so bizarre.
Wow, that actually sounds like an amazing night.
It was great. It was great. And she was wonderful. Everyone involved was wonderful. But it was just, so that's what I think about when I see her there. I'm like, it's Naisha. Anyway, this is stupid. Going on.
So Luke, no, I like it. I didn't know. So Luke is like, I did purple roasted cauliflower. Did you enjoy doing this? It shows, Luke. It shows. Wow, everybody. Let's congratulate Luke for putting something in here that didn't make me want to barf. Okay, Luke, well done.
That's also Padma's question for the rest of the episode. Did you enjoy this, Luke? Did you like it? Do you want your toy back, Luke? You like it?
But she asked it in such a way, like she always does, you know, like she's about to beat you down. Like, did you enjoy doing this, Luke?
It shows! Well done, Luke!
Jeez.
I asked because all your food seems to be so joyless. It's amazing you were ever employed at Noma, let alone Dunkin' Donuts, am I right?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Ashley did yellow curried veggie puree, and Padma's like, what are the crunchy bits?
Now, if Gail were here, I would just assume it was dandruff from her hair that had fallen to her plate. But she's not, so I'm curious.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you a delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian. Eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
Freeze-dried yellow peach. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to make this face.
I'm just going to nod and look sort of ahead of my plate, but not at my plate.
So then Damar, who had green, he did a harissa glazed broccoli with nuts and an avocado puree. And Naisha is so nice. She's like, there is so much brightness to this dip. It's green, okay? He got green. Yeah.
Padma's like, wow, you guys are doing really well. It's like the guy at the Golden Corral refilling the chafers to Gail. You guys are making our jobs harder.
Gil's face is still up at the Golden Corral like it's a post office. So Jay with her red did 20 minute strawberry beats, which I like the name. I did 20 minute strawberry beats. It's a famous term that we use when we only have 20 minutes.
Yeah. So does that mean that you were working on some sort of rap song when you say beats? Is that what you're saying?
Wow, these are the most delicious earphones I've ever eaten in my life. So those are the crunchy bits.
I believe that the term you think of is not strawberry, but apple. Apple is the platform that does technology, Jay. That's okay. You're learning.
So then Nick, who had orange, did a veggie fried rice. And Padma was like, you used pumpkin in this?
I like you, Nick, so I'm going to refrain from saying, did you mean to use pumpkin in this? But do note that I do appreciate that you took the time to shape every little grain of rice into the shape of Mississippi. That's what you call dedication.
I mean, I get loving Cinderella, you know, every night at midnight I turn into a gale, etc., but I don't want to eat it. So then Evelyn did a charred eggplant and black bean soup, and Naisha's like, my palate is blown. You have blown my palate. You've blown it.
Okay, simmer down. You're not famous enough to make exclamations like that, okay? Guys, my palate is blown away. There, I did it much better.
So was her James Beard, apparently. So, this food was delicious, fantastic. I feel great. There were a couple of less successful dishes. Ew, ugly people's Uber at midnight. Just a hint.
Nick, the ingredients on the plate lacked cohesiveness. It's like that time when Gail showed up in sweatpants and a ball gown. It just didn't make any sense. And that
pumpkin
was just from McDonald's.
Sweet potatoes? I mean, they're both orange, but God, I mean, they have similarities. I can't. And so they moved to the bed. Oh, and they also didn't like Ashley's very much. Blame the freeze-dried peaches.
Yeah, you brought those yellow cues and tones to life, but the flavor didn't really match the visual. It tasted like shit, basically. Next time, why don't you look into some grains of paradise, okay?
If you can find them. Good luck finding someone famous enough to get their hands on that ingredient.
Hey, Naisha, how many grains of paradise do you have? None. Oh, wow, you might as well just join the other chefs. It's like you're back on season whatever the fuck you were on. Am I right, chefs?
All right, let's talk about the best. So they choose Buddha because his cauliflower, cheesy cauliflower, is very elegant. That is menu ready. You know, it's the same thing I said the first time I had a Big Mac. That is value menu ready.
Damar, you have a clear vision in supporting ingredients. Now, could you try that happy face again? Oh, poor thing. Really can barely move those lips, can you?
That sentence cracked me up. You have a very clear vision in supporting ingredients for roasted broccolini. Roasted broccoli. And then Padma, very sexily, she does her sexy voice for no reason. She goes, I love the avocado puree on the bottom.
It was so creamy. It looked fabulous. It reminded me of long, enchanting evenings with Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, my left foot. No, my left foot. No, my left foot.
Wow, you should have seen us dancing.
We were menu ready, I'm telling you that.
In the name of the Father, more like in the name of the menu. That's ready.
So then they loved Evelyn's super bold soup. It was just impeccable. Wow, such a round, full, I'm sorry, I was getting Gail in one piece. Flavor, I meant to end it with. I just loved it. I want to also give an honorable mention to Luke. Luke, welcome Luke. To the party. You Luke. Really earned this mediocre spot in the...
Luke, welcome to the party. You got an honorable mention, which is just a reminder that you're still not at the top of the pack. But you're slightly closer.
So funny. I'm going to see more of this food in your elimination challenges. All right, chef, who's the winner? And the winner is Damar. And he's like, I'm kind of in shock. I'm super grateful. Wow, now that's a happy face. You might as well be a penguin worried about global warming. I'm sorry, that was happy feet. But still, you get it.
As my dear friend Leah Michelle once sang in her sixth grade production of some stupid musical, gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy potato. I don't know. I don't know the lyrics. I'll try it later on.
Well, Sarah, Leah Michelle, she really gilled upward that one. Anyway, point is, Damar won. Thank you for looking happy. Now, please clear the gel mat, guest judge. Your Jonathan Gold mentions no longer matter here. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Naisha. So Pam was like, that was a fun challenge, but I think we're going to need something to get to the soul of the matter for this next one. Right, everyone? Am I right? No, Gail. Put down those shoe soles. Those are not snacks.
Today, you'll be given different pairs of Gail's shoes, and you'll have to make the soles tasteful. Good luck with that. Please welcome the all-star guest judges for today, Don Burrell and Kwame, who's got a gold hand later in the episode for us to laugh and laugh about.
Take a good look at his hand now, because it's the last time you'll be able to look at it without cracking up. Oh, there's Damar's happy face again.
No. So today is a Juneteenth challenge called the Freedman Challenge. And we get the history of Juneteenth, and Freedmantown, which I did not know the history of this. I felt like a very bad Texan. I knew the history of Juneteenth, but I didn't know about Freedmantown.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Yeah, it really was. It was like a good history lesson, which sometimes I don't like learning historic things on reality shows. But I was actually like, wow, that was a very good episode where I enjoyed and I learned. Look at that.
I totally felt the same way because, you know, I, of course, have, you know, learned about Juneteenth in recent years. I knew that it like culminated in Texas, but I didn't realize it was Galveston. I didn't realize there was this movement into Houston that created a city within a city. It was all very cool. It was very cool to learn about it. So they're going to be, putting on a fundraiser at, a place called Bethel Church, which is founded by this guy, Jack Gates, who was like one of the leaders of this movement to Houston. And basically, everyone has to make a dish that speaks to their soul, and not necessarily soul food, but just food that's passed down from generation to generation.
Right, like their kind of soul food, right? Yeah. So she's like, well, this is an important event because attendees will actually be purchasing tickets to eat your crappy food. So today... So they go to the Bethel Baptist Church Zion... Oh, sorry.
I just have to say, I thought it was so funny because Don and Kwame are like, they're talking to the chefs about like Freedmantown and the Freedmantown Conservancy, which is the group that they're working with. And like, it almost feels like while they like just barely finish the sentence and Pama just starts walking away and she's like, can't wait to taste what you'll make. See you later. And she's like already like across the room. Like, bye. I've already spent too much time with these people.
I don't have any more lines. Bye.
So anyway, now they go on a tour of Freedmantown and they go to the Bethel Baptist Church.
Yes. And so we get the history of it. And basically, it was this town that people built for freed slaves to come to. Like, you know, because what do? It's like you're freed from slavery, but you have no job. You have no way to support yourself. You have no, contacts. You have nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a town that everybody could come to, and they built this whole town basically around this church for people to come. And they built a whole town, basically. I'm reading through the notes, like, not making a joke about that, not making a joke about that.
I'm like, So basically, they're walking through this church, and they're learning about the history. They're getting inspired and talking about the things they want to make. Like, Nick is talking about he wants to make his grandma's salmon cake and things like that. And then finally, they're like, get into your BMW XLR 7 Delenti Layers Edition, everyone. So they get into their cars, and they're going to they're heading to Whole Foods. And they're talking more about the food that they're going to make. So, like, Buddha's talking about how he was going to make his grandma's curry, And he's like, just because I do all this cool stuff, like, you know, making a puree in the shape of a figure eight to represent an influential aviator, doesn't mean I don't know how to do something humble.
Listen, I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich too in a sous vide machine. All right? I'm a humble person.
So, yeah, and then Jay talks about how she wants to make like a fish with like a shrimp dish, shrimp bisque. And I think this is where she talks about how, like, when she was a kid, she talks about like how, like, her mom would like debone the fish for her and serve her the fish. And she wants to do that. And I don't know. I was like, please don't serve them baby food, Jay. That's all I wanted. I was like, please, please serve something more than baby food.
I was happiest as a baby. Here's some mashed bananas and chocolate chips. Enjoy. So Luke wants to do his mom's meatloaf in the style of fricadilla, which is like kind of a crispy meatball. So I was worried because everyone's mom's meatloaf is different. I mean, that's a controversial thing to serve, meatloaf. Because when you're like, my mom's meatloaf is the best meatloaf, everybody's mom's meatloaf is the best meatloaf. Like, you can't say that. Then someone else has to diss their mom by liking your meatloaf.
Yeah. Also, this is like the point of the episode where from going forward, like, it feels like every three lines is the phrase in the style of fricadella. I'm like, please stop saying in the style of fricadella. It was every single thing was like, now chefs, are you ready for your challenge? Cause this challenge is in the style of fricadella.
Look at Gail and those souls. She sure is acting fricadella today. Am I right, Gail?
In the style of, at least.
So then Ashley wants to do a rice dish. She's going to do a low country crab rice with her mom's oyster gravy. And Evelyn is going to do sopes and chorizo, which, you know, can't really go wrong there. You know, Evelyn just knows how to do it. Some carbs and some meat and some spicy meat.
Everything she makes looks amazing every single week, you know?
Yep.
So now they're just like cooking and cooking and cooking. And, you know, Ashley's saying how, you know, food is what brings people together and chefs have to start seeing themselves as community leaders. And I don't disagree. I do think that food is 100% the thing that brings us together. But I also just like, there's something funny about like saying like chefs have to start thinking of themselves as community leaders. I'm like, chefs already have such, they already believe that they're friggin' rock stars.
I've like, had so many pans and knives thrown at me by chefs. I mean, I've worked in restaurants my whole life. So yes, I have almost been murdered by chefs. I'm not kidding. You know, like, so the thought of them leading my community scares the shit out of me. Like,
puta,
knife thrown at my head. I'm like, the guy threw a knife at my head. The manager goes, that's an Italian chef. Like, you just move.
Like,
that was what my manager said. Okay.
Do you really want Guy Fieri to be the leader of your community? I just feel like chefs already have enough of an ego. I don't think we need to like put the community leader feather in their caps or their toques, I should say.
So then let's see here. Luke is like, you know, when I was a kid, the way my mom got me to try different foods, she made a deal with me. And she said, if I would at least try the food she made, I could choose whether or not to eat it. Really? My mom said, eat that or you're not getting a fucking Snickers. And then she smacked me on the head with a fly swatter. Like, who gets raised like this? I'm so jealous of kids who get raised like that. Just try it.
But also, like, I don't, like, he's saying it as if it was, like, this revolutionary advancement in parenting. Like, how many times have you just heard parents say, just try it, and if you try it, like, as long as you try it, I won't make you eat any more of it. As long as you try it. Like, he's acting like this, like, guys, my mom has this great technique that maybe you never heard of, which is try it, and then if you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Our technique was eat it or die, okay? Die alone and starving.
Yeah, my mom's technique was you're eating it and I'm going to sit here on the sofa and watch you until you're done eating your food. I don't care if it takes 2 hours.
Yes.
It often would.
So then Buddha's doing this for his dad because his dad passed and this is one of the last things they had together. Bueller, stop. It's okay.
Bueller, you were not in this episode.
He's upset because the cleaning guy came. And so he's like, oh my God. I need to go tell him who's boss. But no, you don't need to do that. So Damar is making something that he describes as the perfect marriage of storytelling. And God bless these chefs for romanticizing what they do. So I guess that's what you need to do. You know, you need to romanticize your own job. Don't expect other people to do it for you, you know?
Yeah. Although I did think it was really cool learning that the origin of hoe cakes was that they were literally cooked on like the blade of a hot hoe. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
That poor girl.
Bueller is
killing me. I'm so sorry, Bueller. You guys.
Bueller, what do you have to say for yourself? Please welcome James Beard Award nominee for best dog who has a restaurant in his brain, Bueller.
And I make him sound so evil. The truth is, he doesn't want to go say who's boss. He wants to go give him kisses. You know, that's all he wants. He's like, why are you robbing me of this? I could be over there giving kisses. This is the perfect marriage of storytelling, and you're ruining it.
What a slutty dog. Talk about a hot hoe.
I was playing, that was my nickname in high school all the way through this. That's a game where every dumb name that comes up, I say, that was my nickname in high school. Hoe Cakes was the first one. Hey, that was my nickname in high school.
That's funny. So, Buddha, that Buddha has sad story about his, it was like really sad story about like his dad and this curry, etc., and how he got a call to come onto Top Chef the week that his dad passed away. So then this is where Jay talks about eating, like being a baby and eating fish, and then we have the hoe cakes, and then they like are wrapping everything up in plastic, and it's the end of the day, and now it's the morning, and we're at Bethel Baptist Church, and the chefs are walking in, and it's 2 hours until service, idiots.
And I like Evelyn's take, because she's like, I mean, look, this is coming from our soul. Like, how are you supposed to judge that? Like, you can't just judge what's coming from someone's soul. My ass, you can't. You say your soul sucks, okay? I hate your soul. Your soul has no taste. It's no different than criticizing anything else, okay? Some people have rotten souls. Let's see how your soul tastes.
Ooh, look at your stupid, stupid soul. Gross.
I hate your soul. So then they're cooking, and Damar has a problem with the hoe cakes. He's burning the hoe cakes, and they're like, oh my God, Damar's going to go down over hoe cakes. You know, we get a whole segment of like, is this going to be Damar's end? A hoe cake.
And Luke is telling us that he's going to give people his own, meatloafs
in the style of fricadellas.
I'm like, please stop saying that. I like literally cannot hear that phrase anymore.
And Gail is not wearing a pattern today, which is super disorienting for Padma because she can't like make fun of the pattern. Gail's just wearing like a denim dress. And Padma just keeps kind of giving her these looks. And I think it shorts her out because she's like, hopefully they'll knock this one out of the park. This challenge will be a point every time you get to a base. Harrison Powder Puff Baseball. Bzz, bzz. Luke is cooking okay.
Gail, so nice of you to come here today dressed in the style of a frigadella.
So so the chefs start serving. Did you notice this? That the judges walk in and there's like a little bar. So Padma walks up and goes, 3 Proseccos, please. And then Gail walks up and goes, yes, and I'll have a Prosecco too. So I was like, Padma didn't get Gail a Prosecco.
Oh my God. Padma just gets drunk this whole episode. I think every time we see Padma, she's got like a full Prosecco. She's like,
I'll have another. Thank you. Wow, it's such a beautiful day. It's so great to visit this church. And look, there's all this space for Gail to run around and literally roll in the grass. Look at her having fun there with the dandelions.
Could you throw a Prosecco for Gail, please? Thank you.
She'll have hers in a bowl. Doggy bowl, please.
So the judges split up into two groups, and Padma and Tom are, of course, in one group together because they're always, I feel like they're always in.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
The group separations.
Unless
because Tom says something weird in like a big hat, and then Padma's just like, ha, 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 Tom, oh, Tom.
Yeah, Padma's with Tom, unless there's a big celebrity, in which case Tom is with Gail and Padma's with, you know, Lena Waithe. So, so they first go to Nick. First, Gail, Kwame, and Anaisha go to Nick, and he's serving his Nana's salmon cake with remoulade and Hop and John salad. And the judges love it. They love the Hop and John salsa. And Gail, I just love that kick at the end, that acidic kick that you get. Okay, we get it. You don't have to stop doing that jig over there, Gail, for crying out loud. It's not Riverdance.
And someone says, I can taste your legacy. I was like, wow. Wow. Back off.
My Subaru?
Like, like you're officially too close. Back off. So yeah, it had acid. It had a kick at the end. It was like a marriage to Padma.
I heard that, Gail. Okay, stop trying.
So then Jay, they go to Jay next, and it's her mom's Mama Kim's codfish with Korean sweet potato and shrimp bisque.
And she's like, oh my God, this was so comforting when I was young. And Padma pulls out her snotty voice to ask this, and it cracked me up. She goes, does she still make it? I'm like, geez, why do you say it like that?
Wow, are you still just like stuck in your five-year-old self, still having mommy make you fish soup, Jay? Stupid, stupid. Slow development to Jay.
And Jay's like, actually, she visited and she knew that I really wanted this dish. And after a 20-hour flight, she made me this dish. And Padma was like, wow, jet lag, delicious. Thanks, Jay. Very interesting.
Jay, this dish reminds me of the exact opposite of anything Gail has ever worn on the show. Very interesting.
So then the judges talk, and Tom's like, well, you know, the capital of South Korea is Seoul, and she's got it.
Tom!
Hold on one second. Let me get my cell phone out. Beep, boop, 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 beep. Hi, Ali, it's Pad. Yeah, so guess what? Tom made this joke about soul and soul. It was a wordplay. I know, so stupid, right? I'm embarrassed. Okay, bye, Ali.
Wow, doing something from her childhood really unleashed something. Look, it's over there.
Let's go.
Well, don't just stand there. Leash it. Leash it back up.
You know, Padma's like, you know, she's like, oh, and that kimchi salad on top with the pomegranate. I love that. And Tom goes, yeah, that's like one of those things you taste. And you go, where have you been all my life? You're like a son who actually wants to continue on my traditions and my skills. Where have you been all my life?
So then, Evelyn is next, and she talks about her soba. She made a beet soba, which looks crazy good. And she did chorizo with charred pineapple and pureed black bean, which I was like, wow, she really committed to the black beans today. She's like, you know what? I'm sticking with the black bean puree.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep going with it. And they loved it.
Yeah.
And
Kendrick from Insecure loved it too. They're like, out of nowhere, it's like, here's Kendrick. And he loves it.
Oh, and the guest is so impressed by the use of the vegetable in the chorizo. And Evelyn says, yeah, my mom used to do that. And I'm like, Mom, you can put vegetables in it, but like, we're still eating a sope. You know that, right? And the guest goes, yeah, it's like the illusion of health. I love that.
So then the councilwoman and the mayor of Houston drop by. They like walk by the judge's table, and Tom's like, huh? Hey, Mayor, how's it going? And this council lady, she's wearing these sunglasses with like a blue frame or like a bright blue frame. They're sort of like whack, like the Far Side. And she's like, I just want to say thanks for being here and supporting, you know, this wonderful cause. It means so much to have you here. No autographs, please. None. Please keep moving. Keep moving.
I'm really sorry. That's I need okay. 1 second.
Okay. Bueller. Give him kisses. Okay, did you get it out of your system? Okay, come back now and leave him alone. Okay.
And now he's fine. You know, now he's like, yes, I did it. He's like running in circles, wagging his tail. Sorry, everybody. So unprofessional.
I feel like I'm going to keep that in there. I think everyone's going to really enjoy that moment of like, oh, he wants to give more kisses today.
He wants pets. He wants pets now because he gave kisses. So he needs a gold medal delivered to him.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so then we move over to what were you saying about the mayor's council lady, the council lady?
I don't know. She's not famous enough to stop by this table, so keep it moving, glasses.
So Damar's hoe cake. So he did hoe cakes and collard greens. The hoe cakes turned out great, everybody. Okay, let's not worry about the hoe cake. That was a big drama earlier, but everything's fine. And
I like when Padma's eating the hoe cake. She like before she puts it in her mouth, she blows on it. She's like... I'm like, Pam, it's a hoe cake. This is not like, this is not hot soup. It's like a pancake. She's like, blow it, cool it down.
And they say when the greens hit the cornbread, that was a match made in heaven. It's almost like the perfect marriage of storytelling. Is it, guys? Isn't it, guys?
Yeah. And so I'm like, it's like, you know, it's like when a Twizzler hits the gravy for Gail. Am I right?
You know, it's like how a few simple things put together can be so great.
Yeah, and a few simple things put together can also be so awful. Gail, you want to take this one? Do a spin, Gail.
Oh, God, it's like when she raids her culotte collection and tries to make an ensemble. Oh, dear.
Well, you know, I can't see sending anyone home today. I mean, everyone's soul tastes delicious so far.
Bring Dumb Jackson back. We'll just get rid of his non-smelling ass again.
Yeah. So then they go up to Nick, and Tom's like, so, Nick, are you missing home right now? I'm only asking because you've shaped this salmon cake into what appears to be the state of Mississippi again. So I'm missing it. And he's like, yeah, I just want to show my Mississippi. And Padma's over with Evelyn, and she's like, wow, I love the magenta color. It's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Gail, come over here. See, you need to dress more like a soapie. That's the key.
So someone tells Jay that joy emanates from her eyes. And we just see kind of cuts to the other judges who we didn't see judging dishes, get to taste those dishes and stuff. So then we see Ashley's crab rice oyster gravy. And she talks about how her mom was Appalachian and she would make boggy rice, which meant her rice was wet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's funny. Knew this was going to be trouble.
Yeah.
I just knew. It's like my rice is wet on purpose because you know that chefs are like, wait, did you mean to make this rice wet? Did you mean to?
Did you mean to break this? This rice is broken. Huh. I just choked on my Padma. I'm like, huh.
Well, I like that Padma would choke on broken rice.
I'm dying. This broken rice is killing me.
I love this broken style rice, this boggy style rice. It's funny because we have a boggy style judge. Gail, come show everyone your look.
Oh, so Dawn is not too into it. She wanted crispy bits of crab. And she said the oyster gravy is fine, but that the texture really didn't come through from rice or anything else. And Adam is like, yeah, I don't really eat rice that's doused like this. And Tom says, you know, she took two things she loved, and she didn't need two things. You know, you're gilding the lily there, okay? I just need one thing that you love and some dedication until you achieve the goal of getting the thing that you love, okay? Well, there you go. Mixing five things in a shaker, just like I told you not to do. This is not even a good martini. You've ruined your life for nothing. Thank you.
Wow. Taking two things you love and gilding the lily with them, that's almost like, I don't know, a pack, a square, and a fedora, Tom, right?
Oh, when did Marlon Brando leave you his sun hat, Tom?
So then a local celeb meets Gail, and he's like, this food is grounding, and it's liberating. It's grounding, liberating food. And Kwame's like, yeah, this is Top Chef. And then we see Kwame's gold hand. And I was like, Kwame is going to take over this entire episode now.
I know. Kwame is, he's, it's almost like a Michael Jackson glove, but it's not. It's like actually just full of lots of charms. It's like this, it reminds me of the face covering that Asa used to wear on Shahs of Sunset, but it's yes. on his glove.
Yes, it is like that.
The difference is that like it sort of feels like Asa's is rooted in some sort of cultural movement. And I don't know, maybe Kwame's is, but it just looks like he's just trying to be like very fashion forward. So
well, part of me was like, uh-huh, he has a gold hand. That's stupid. And the other part was like, I wish my hands could fit into a gold glove like that.
I want a gold glove that sort of makes gentle clanking sounds.
Yeah, I like it, you know. And then he's got his nail painted on that hat. It's like, take that hand seriously, you know.
It was very so busy. Then it was a very busy
hand. They go over to Luke, and Padma's like, wow, what is Frickadicka, and is he married?
Is this called Freak-a-leak? What's that? No, Frickadooka? What? I'm so confused. Say it again. Say it again, Luke.
It's my mom's meatloaf, Frickadilla. So,
wow.
I took him.
She must be so proud of you for finally figuring out how to cook something semi-decent on this show.
I took a meatball and then I put some white cheddar gravy on the meatball. She's like, oh, don't be shy with the mashed potatoes. Don't be shy with the mashed potatoes. That was Gail's wedding song.
You might recognize that beautiful singing voice from my previous film musical work in the feature film musical Glitter, which also is a reference to Kwame's new glove.
She's like, lot of butter, Luke, lot of butter. Okay. And he's like, yeah, that's how I'd like to eat it at home. So Tom, when they're in private time, Tom's like, God, you know, that Luke, he's been all over the place. You know, he's gone from the bottom to almost at the bottom, to the bottom again, to almost at the bottom. And now he's, you know, probably near the bottom, but you know, it's not the bottom or almost the bottom. So that's something, right?
It's so great that he's barely qualifying to even be a production assistant on this show. I'm so proud of him.
Yesterday, Luke broke out of his shell, Tom, let me tell you.
And he's like, well, you know, that's it. The meatball needed more fat. You know, like he needs to be more authentic, though, in general. Like today, because today he was authentic. I mean, he was bland, it was white. We didn't really love it. But, you know, at least it's him.
It was a little tight. It was a tight little meatball. A tight meatball in the style of a frikadella.
That was my nickname in high school. Tight little meatball.
In the style of a frikadella. By the way, I feel like we have not paused to really appreciate, like, why don't you at that point just make, I feel like you either make meatloaf or you make a meatball. Like, I think if you're going to do a meatloaf in the style of a meatball, just commit to saying it's a meatball, right? Like, there are different textures, but like, if there were a thing as meatloaf meatballs, I think that they would have happened already. It's like when What's-His-Face grilled potatoes. Like, you know, this would have been discovered by now.
I think his idea of, you know, every meatball is going to taste like the corner, the crispy corner of mom's meatloaf. Okay, A, your mom's meatloaf was kind of made, like, I don't think it was right. It shouldn't be crispy at the corners, right? It's not a brownie. Like, I had to really think about it. And I was like, do I like the crispy corners of meatloaf? Because, listen, I've eaten a lot of meatloaf in my life. I've never had a crispy corner of the meatloaf. I mean, the meatloaf is mixed with onion, ketchup. Well, in my family, we all do it different. But the secret ingredient is always ketchup over in the Karam family, okay?
I know, I like how you said that as if, like, I just want to be respectful to other meatloafs out there.
Because some people are like, ketchup, that's disgusting. But when I saw Mama D do that on Dallas, when she's like, the secret ingredient, ketchup. I was like, that's the damn truth, okay, right there.
I thought it was weird later on when Tom was like, well, everyone knows the best part of the meatloaf is the crispy part. I was like, wait, what?
Since when? Yeah, I've never had that because the meatloaf is not crispy. It's like bready.
There's some crispy parts, but I don't think that's the signature quality of a meatloaf. It's like when I've had a crispy part, it's nice, but it's not.
It's usually the top when I've had it crispy, you know?
Yeah, it's like I don't know. I don't even know. I think the signature part, the best part of the meatloaf is maybe just the flavor. I don't know.
I like the top. Like the top of it mixed part. With it. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was confused by the crispy meatloaf. But anyway, if you're going to do that and you're going to do it in the form of a meatball, when you have a meatball that's like that, you're like, this is burned. This is not burned meat to get that crisp. It does not taste good. Everyone's had burned meat before. It's hard. You know, it's not crispy. It's hard. It'll break your damn teeth.
On a meatball, I think you do want some like browning, you know, like that's a nice thing for a meatball. But I don't know about the crispy. I was actually a little
burnt.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little confused overall about what the issue was going on with this situation. Like,
yeah,
I was like, or were they mad that was the meatloaf, was the ball, was the fricadella, was it too burnt? Was it not burnt enough? Was it soggy from the sauce? Was it not soggy? It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a burnt meatball with white cheese sauce on top. Like, it just doesn't sound great. So then Buddha, you so sucks. There, I said it. So then Buddha is talking about his grandma's curry. And he's like, you know, I actually finished earlier and I was going to do something else, but I didn't want to overthink it. Kwame's like, are you kicking us out of your restaurant? Jingle, 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 jingle.
It's Christmas time. So, but they basically, Kwame, they think that like Buddha's curry, the components on their own tasted great, but together they don't really, the sum is not greater than the parts or whatever. So, then we just see Luke serving more of his meatloaf in the form of frigadella. He literally says it like two more times. I'm just like, please never say that again.
So everybody seemed to do really well because one group of judges didn't really love Ashley's, crab rice dish, but then the other group of judges loved it, so it's confusing. You know, we don't know what's going to happen now. So then we go to the judges convening, and Naisha's like, my soul cup is filled.
Wow. That's
cute.
Guess you can't say the same for your James Beard Award nomination cup, huh?
This is going to be so hard. They all did so well. I don't want to kick anyone off. Gail, please pack your spoons and go.
Gail, please pack your mud pies and go.
So it's the stew room. Everybody's happy. You know, they're like, we killed it today. And oh, this is so meaningful. How are they even going to do this? And so the judge's table, Gail's like, I'm going to have my mad face today. It's like, Gail, it's a soulful episode. Could someone please stop dangling that broken champagne glass I threw at Gail earlier in front of her face? She looks very angry.
Gail, this is the part of the season where we pretend to have an attachment to these people, okay? So that means you look like you're about to cry, but you're not actually going to because they're just too poor and unfamous to shed a tear for.
Well, you know, you guys did your family food, and it was all in all a great day. You know, some of your families are more talented than other parts of your families, but you know what? You know, here's to even untalented family members. Padma?
Yep, we know we have to... You know, it's just great having all these chefs standing in front of you, and you're taking recipes that have been passed down and made them your own, which is something I can only imagine is a wonderful feeling for your parents. I don't know that experience personally, because I have not come up with my own vodka tonic recipes.
So yeah, I've never passed down a Long Island iced tea recipe, but somehow my child knows how to do that. So, you know, good for him. Yeah, good for him. Wonderful. I'm still proud.
Still proud in an abstract still sort proud. Of way.
And Don's like, I saw nothing but joy with you guys. That's what cooking from your soul means. No, it's not. Not everybody has a joyful soul, okay? Especially the chef's soul, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna cook me a chef's soul, I want something made out of heroin and boxed wine. Okay, that's it.
And I know. The way that chefs just get so sanctimonious about cooking from the soul, or like, this is what cooking means to me. Cooking from the soul means cooking from the heart. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Everyone's like, I just always think it's so funny. Like, oh, you know, I cooked something that I didn't care. Well, I guess people do cook things they don't care about, but I just feel like cooking from the heart, I just still feel like is like, sounds very nice, but it doesn't really mean anything.
I just feel like if I said, this is my personality on a plate, you don't want to eat that. I'm probably poisoning you, you know? Like, you just have to be careful with people's souls. So Padma's like, Buddha, you did a beautiful job, but I would have
you know, out of chance, and this is something I'll never say around Gail, you know, modeling any sort of an outfit, turn the heat up. You know, I would have turned the heat up.
Turn the heat around. See, I can sing. I can.
Now, Nick, did you know that you wanted to do salmon cake? That's a trick question, so maybe suggest that you stumbled into the salmon cake.
Yeah. Did you know right away that you wanted to do this, or did you have to think about it a long time?
Were you tricked into doing salmon cake, or did you know you wanted to do salmon cake?
Did someone seduce you into doing salmon cake? Was it my beauty?
Who tricked Nick?
Who told Nick it was a salmon cake challenge, or did he know just on his own?
Well, the flavor was great, and the star of the dish was the beans. It was the beans. What a star. You know, wow, I'm the greatest star. I am by far. And you know what? Chickpeas know it. That's it. That's it. The star was the beans. And Gail's like, you packed a lot of flavor into that salmon cake. There was a lot of panko, though. And the texture of the salmon was lost, but I loved the pure flavor that was imparted into the soggy bread that I ate in place of the salmon. So thanks for that.
Gail, are you sure that wasn't just your deodorant that you're complaining about? She does use panko under her armpits. It's very sad.
Salmon panko. Mmm, delicious. Gail must be going out tonight.
You know, I've heard of Right Guard, but Gail actually uses Wrong Guard.
So Dawn's like, Luke, you know, your dish meant a lot to you, but your meatball sucked. So I'm so sorry about your sucky soul. Okay?
I have a tight meatball. I just think it's... I have a tight meatball. It's such a strangely specific criticism about a meatball. It's a tight meatball.
Wow, what a tight meatball.
Wow, tight meatball. Tom's like, yeah.
Well, yeah. You're in a predicament, okay? Because you said you wanted crispy, but the meatballs then are cooked in gravy, so they're crispy, but they're also soggy. I'm not really sure what to say anymore about that, but it's a predicament, a big predicament. Tight meatball.
You're making Gail salivate. Stop it, Tom. So Patma's like, Damar, you had immunity today and allegedly a happy face. So is this
look, everybody, this is Damar semi-relax.
Is it because you know you're not going anywhere? Because guess what? You wouldn't be going anywhere because it was delicious. Also, you walk very slowly, so you wouldn't be getting anywhere anytime soon anyway. Wow, so many any words.
Wow, those hoe cakes. And Kwame loved them as well. And Tom's like, you know, when I was 18, I lived in New Jersey.
And I would go to this restaurant on the boardwalk. And Althea Gibson had it. It was her restaurant. And it reminded me of going into that restaurant and saying, Althea, give me some hoe cakes.
Tom, this isn't about your soul, okay? Listen, sun hat soul from Marlon Brando. Quiet down over there. I've had enough.
Congratulations, Tom. You went to a restaurant once. Okay, Ashley. Ashley, I thought that gravy was delicious. I mean, I wanted to take a vat of it home with me. Too bad Gail already beat me to it. And I thought your rice was great, too. Too bad Gail beat me to that one as well. She basically took everything home, okay? I'm very mad about this.
So Dawn is like, did you deep fry the crab? And Ashley's like, no, I used a griddle. And Gail's like, yeah, I really miss those crispy crab rice pieces. Oh my God, give her some with some milk. She'll call it a Captain Crunch. Just call it a day.
Gail, you're using them as earrings right now. So what are you complaining about?
Let's see. So Evelyn, tell us about your magenta sopes. And she's like, well, this one really hit home to me because I lost my grandma and she taught me how to make sopes. My mom taught me the chorizo. And Gail's like, I'm crying too. I mean, you were standing on their shoulders today and it showed. Oh God, Gail, the thought of you standing on shoulders makes me cry.
Look at my lower lip curling slightly. It's like I'm crying. I'm an actress.
You know, Evelyn, I have to say this about your food. It was a real punch in the mouth. Did that sound cold? It was meant to be a compliment.
It's, you know, I've learned so much about punching in the mouth from my dear friend Daniel Day-Lewis when he was in the feature film The Boxer.
Kwame seems to be enjoying your food, but all I hear is a sad tambourine.
Oh, so then Jay's talking about her dish and everything, and Tom's like, you know, everything about that dish was thoughtful and had intention. It's like a son who is on an actual career path, thoughtful and with intention. Wow.
You know, I wanted more and more. And Dawn beat me to the relish, so, you know, that sucked for me.
And somehow Gail still got it in the end. That's her talent. So we have a very terrible decision to make now. Everybody, please go back to the stew room while I pretend to have emotions. Thank you.
We are going to have a terrible, terrible decision because we're going to sever one of your arms. It's terrible that we have to do it today.
So in the stew room, Luke, who's still all happy today for whatever reason, is like, I am so proud. I'm so happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here. What an incredibly proud and happy day. It's like, you can't just suddenly turn positive. It's doom. I've never seen it work out for anybody.
Yeah, he's like, sure, there were some technical mistakes, but I feel great. I'm like, you can't do that. So then Padma's like, but I feel bad sending someone home for the food we had today. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I feel wonderful about sending someone home today.
It was a joyful celebration of learning, education, emotion, and crab gravy baths. Am I right, Gail? The competition must go on, and we have to decide who won today. And Kwame's like, you know who really made me think? It was Jay, because I was confused. I don't know what the hell that was. What the fuck was that? I don't know. I still don't know. But I was also satisfied. So delicious.
Are we talking about Jay's food or your glove? I'm not sure following here.
And Gail's like, she did something unique. She created something new that was an instant comfort food. And Tom's like, well, you know, I certainly like Jace, but I could make an argument that the simplicity of Damar's dish was great. You know, now any other season, I would be like, this needs more. This is Top Chef. I mean, what is this? This is crap. But today, I'm going to say the simplicity was great.
Okay, well, we now have our winner. Great. Now the hard part. Let's all sit here while Gail breathes on us.
So Dawn's like, Luke's meatball was the most blah. Okay, let's be honest. It was tough. The meatloaf is supposed to be tender and juicy, not tough. Tight meatloaf. And Gail's like, you know, right now, when you use the word juicy, it really hit home for me. Because I'd like the flavors, but it wasn't that word again. Here it comes. Everybody wait, because it blew me away. It blew my palate. Hold on, everybody. It wasn't juicy. Wow. I just keep learning more and more today. And Kwame's like, yeah, and also conceptually, how are we supposed to eat that? Okay, like, we're walking around. We shouldn't have to put it down to cut it. Kwame, you should be happy because you didn't have to use your hands for something, okay? You're wearing a gold hand, Kwame.
And there were high tops everywhere. So then Pam was like, but a frikadella, which he referred to, in case you didn't know, a frikadella in the style of etc.
So it's supposed to be crispy on both sides. Ah.
Oh. Well, what about Ashley?
Tom's like, well. Well, I thought that you would love that.
I did love it. It's everybody else here who's stupid and didn't love it.
And Don's like, well, I miss the texture of crab. And Kwame goes, you know, the flavors were lost. Like, what I was looking for was not matched. I was like, oh, okay, so you're not going to date the crab dish. Got it. Noted. Kwame.
Yeah, noted. Well, let me tell you something. Okay, let's talk about Buddha's. I did notice that his curry was not in the style of a frikadella.
So Kwame says it was delicious, but it could have used some salt and heat. And Gail's like, wow, now that you say that, you know, I really like it, but I can see now it needed more heat.
It did need more heat. Oh, such a great day and such a difficult decision. Now we have to send someone home. Let's get them out of here. God, I love this part. I mean, I hate this part.
All of you cooked stupendous food today, but there can only be one winner, and that winner is Jay. So Jay is like very happy, and she's like, oh, it's my personal story. Okay, enough out of you, all right?
Yeah. There are so many people who supported me along the way, and getting here was really because of the support of, okay, calm down, Meryl Streep. There's no trophy for it. Just move to the side now.
We said right. In the style of Frikadella, not Brenda Fricker, so relax.
Frikadella, now there's a meatball.
My left Frikadella, starring Daniel Day-Lewis and Brenda Fricker.
Fender Fricadella.
So it sounds like, you know, chefs, today the challenge was to show why we do what we do. And each of you put your food out there. It was magical food. But one dish, full sword, wasn't magical. You know, your family's disappointed. I hope they're still alive so that they can be properly disappointed by you failing like this. Padma? Padma?
Luke, pack your freeze-dried seaweed and go. I'm so sorry, Luke. I'm so sorry we had to eliminate you just when we gave you an ounce of hope that you might excel in this competition.
And don't worry. It's not over yet because there are plenty of seaweed sheets in the Last Chance kitchen pantry. So we've made sure. We made sure of it.
And Luke, one last patronizing moment for you. Keep doing what you're doing. I was so happy to taste that corner turn, because that's right, I was the only one here who tasted it. And so I'm looking forward to you finding yourself more and more in technique that you already have. So go enjoy that. And while I did get to taste your corner turn, I would like you to make a physical corner turn and leave this room right now.
And Luke is so good-natured. Like, he was really good-natured about it. He did a toast with everybody, and he's like, you know, I'm just glad to be in the same pool as everybody else. This was amazing. The experience was amazing. I'll learn something new every day. And he was a really sweet guy.
Yeah.
He just made me crazy with seaweed, you know?
Yeah.
And next week, astronaut food! And now's the time to whip out those freeze-dried strawberries or peaches or whatever.
Gail's dream comes true. Zero G.
Wow. So that's that. That's our supersized Top Chef.
That's that. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We will be back later today with our recap of the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
We will talk to you later, everybody. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shardell.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser is Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills. Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She leaves us in stitches. It's Catherine Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
Be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell. where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.